It's the Pastor's Heart, and Dominic Steele here. And during the summer holidays in Sydney, we are re-featuring some of our most popular episodes. We had Christian musician and entertainer Colin Buchanan in early last year, and mayhem ensued. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
Do you want a chocolate?
Two. Wow. These really are church. Look, that's melted. There, that one. Look at this. Look at that. That is a church. Look at that. It's so melted. This is the sort of shonky outfit we're running.
We've been preparing for this interview since November. And I bumped into you at my eldest daughter, your youngest son, graduation. Yep. And we said we ought to do an interview on the Pastor's Heart.
Yes.
And you said we ought to save preparation time by getting people to submit questions on Facebook and put them in a hat.
Put them in Dominic's white top hat.
And my strategy has been for questions for the Pastor's Heart to actually plan the logic of an interview and kind of... But you said, no, we should just open up the questions.
Okay, so you've declared that whatever happens in the next however long is entirely my fault.
It is.
That's essentially what your clever plan, and it's working.
And then when you arrived today, you submitted questions into the top hat. So I'll take one of these and I'll try this on you.
Hey, this is completely random.
Your songs are wonderfully based on the... This is Lynn. Your songs are wonderfully based on the Bible. Is there a set of circumstances or setting that instigates your inspiration to write them?
Yes.
More information.
Disgust. but they are legion. Mm-hmm. You just never quite know when a song's going to land. I mean, when I first started writing, it was like lightning striking, and I didn't think that I could engineer songwriting. It would, at potentially the most inconvenient moment in family life, that might be the time when something's burning, or, you know, kids are in a precarious moment, or Robin's thinking, where is he? That could be the time when it's, oh, wait, I've got an idea for a song. So I do have a bunch of song ideas recorded, demos on cassette originally, and now using the phone, with some level of Maos or Kahem happening in the background. That was a completely accidental spoonerism. So I'm listening to a sermon, and something is stated in a really memorable sort of way, or the ideas, you start to see the ideas form up and you think, these feel like they're leading to a sort of a sharper point that would be a great point to build a song around. Mm-hmm. And I think that over the years, I've realized just how good it is to have that point. I suppose it's like a preacher, you know, should know what is it really that I want to... What is the statement? What is the thought I want to deliver in this sermon? If you, what's the other thing? If you don't have an aim, you'll never hit it. Mm-hmm. And I've got the discipline and the, in some ways, the enforced discipline of 2 minutes, three minutes to land an idea.
In terms of inspiration for songs, though, you were telling me, well, you brought a song.
This is when you were rifling through my bag before.
I was impressed about this in that this is Colin's. Well, is it diary or is it your... This is your personal Bible reading.
Yeah. The story of that is a friend, Ken, at church, illegally photocopied some daily bread notes and said, there's some daily bread notes if you just want to get back into Bible reading. And that would be... might be 8 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? We've been a bit irregular. Actually, Robin thought it. Let's not take the credit. And she said, I got some of Ken's illegal Bible study notes. Mm-hmm. And so we started doing it. Now we subscribe to that, or we used Encounter with God, which is sort of the, it's just sort of one step up in terms of the slightly less devotional, a little more
academic,
not highly. And so I'll just use that as the momentum to get into, you know, that's got the passage and it's free range. It's all over the Bible, not like it does chunks. So you get a sense of consistency. And so I'll just reflect on the scriptures and write down what I think. And then I'll read. Sometimes I read the notes. I mean, most of the time they're pretty good. Sometimes they're a little bit, you know, but other times it's like, again, they're able to just in a few paragraphs, that's the gift, isn't it? To land some really strong intent. But I love reflecting, and then out the back of that, I found lately an idea for a song has emerged.
Mm. So you got out. I mean, this is last Tuesday, Leviticus 31. You were reading, it's Tuesday, 31st of January. You were reading Leviticus 12.
You know what that is?
Yeah. No, tell.
Oh, like it's molds and discharge. Yeah, it's the whole section with, you're eating, I know, but it's pretty gross. And it's, and we'd been reading, you know, through Leviticus. Mm-hmm. And so, there's death, mayhem, and there's the sort of ignoble part of life, you know, in the ancient world, and that's being overlaid onto cleanness, uncleanness, accessibility to God, atonement, priest, the role mm-hmm. of the priest, the tabernacle, and all that stuff, and so I was reading about the so I don't know whether I was in the mold chapter, the skin disease chapter, or the bodily discharge mm-hmm. section, and I thought, wow, this is
the top line of your notes.
This was never intended to be read, but let's see what I wrote.
Curious that the natural process of childbirth, the blessing of offspring, is also a means of being unclean. I mean, and then you've gone on in the detail of Leviticus 12.
That's something that you strike. The generations is that's one of the great legacies of Israel, isn't it? That teach your children that I will bless you, great nation. So procreation is a great blessing of God, and procreation, the actual moment of childbirth, creates uncleanness.
Good. I wasn't expecting the first 5 minutes of this interview to go that way. Do you want to do the song that comes out of Leviticus 12?
Okay, better to... The parents are going, I think kids should leave the room. What's Colin written off the back of that? Yeah, okay. Okay, so this song, I had my 2.5-year-old grandson in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
If you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
If you've spilt and smashed and splashed and trashed, if you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
Well, Eve and Adam were the very first people, and all God made was great. But Eve and Adam were the very first sinners who chose to disobey. And did they make a mess?
Yes.
If you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
If you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
If you've spilt and smashed and splashed and trashed, if you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
Well, where am I? It's all scrawled. Well, all the kids and the grown-ups do it every single day. We go on sinning like Eve and Adam, and we choose to disobey. And do we make a mess?
Yes.
If don't speak with your mouth full. If you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
If you've ever made a mess, say yes. If you spilt and smashed and splashed and trashed, if you've ever made a mess, say yes.
Yes.
Well, God can, let me see. Well, God can make our messy hearts. God can take our messy hearts, and God can make them new. Jesus cleans the messiest mess inside of me and you. Can Jesus clean the mess?
Yes.
Can Jesus clean the mess?
Yes.
Can Jesus clean the mess?
Yes.
Come to him with all your sin. Can Jesus clean that mess?
Yes.
Can Jesus clean my mess?
Yes.
Can Jesus clean our mess?
Yes.
Da 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 da. Yes, yes.
Well, that was great.
That was that's a first. That only was written a week ago.
Last week, yeah.
And that's its first and public performance, apart from Finley. Finley's heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, my grandson.
I think it's got legs.
Well, I mean, okay, what's the challenge? You know, sin is a distasteful thought, you know, to our culture in some ways, especially someone telling you you've got a problem with sin. And the scriptures are just so full of that dilemma. Like I say, just in not a benign moment, but in seemingly innocent moments, you get a spot and then you're unclean. You get an infection. There's some sort of, you know, normal part of life. So Our dilemma, our great dilemma, is that God is holy and we're not.
Mm.
And it's the other thing that struck me from Leviticus is the, you tend to think of it because it's the regulations, that it's an oppressive, dark, difficult, bloodstained, and God is holy, but the phrase, a pleasing aroma, a pleasing aroma, a pleasing, and it's like, I get too familiar with that, but to think God is delighted to save sinners pleases him.
Mm.
And I mean, what aroma is more pleasing to him, you know, quite mysteriously so, than the aroma of the cross?
Mm. Next question. Okay. Opening up the next one.
Okay.
The Dominator.
Who's this from? The Dominator? Someone's using a nom de plume?
Do you think pulling questions out of a hat is a good idea for an episode of The Pastor's Heart?
Did you know that was the one you were pulling out?
No.
I'm so happy that was the next one you pulled out. Should I answer that?
Okay. You
can probably answer. No, probably not a good idea. I'll tell you at the end.
Okay. James has asked, your work has a great legacy here in Australia. How do you feel when people recognise your song so well that they interrupt Bible reading passages like Isaiah 53:6? Is that something that's affected songwriting or passage selection process, or is it just worth the risk and not worth focusing on?
And what's his name?
James.
James.
Yeah.
Yeah, James sort of starts with a bit of a jolly and then he sort of leans in, doesn't he? And yeah, sucker punch. When I wrote Isaiah 53:6, mm-hmm. the you know, memory verse, the musical version, a friend of mine.
When I wrote Isaiah 53.
Yes, when I wrote Isaiah 53, one of the great verses.
Just after I wrote the Messiah. Yeah,
that's right. Well, I did think, you know, it was one of those verses, well, I think one of those rare verses where so much of the gospel is compacted into one verse and so economically and compellingly. So that's why I thought it would be good to remember it. And then we came up with the bar-bar-do-bar-bar idea. And a friend of mine who's been a pastor for over 30 years, he was at Moore College at the time, said, I'm not sure about this Isaiah 53:6. It's like, it is so sobering. We all like sheep have gone astray. So there's that universal uncleanness problem. And it's personal. We each have turned to our own way. So we're culpable, guilty, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the substitutionary death of Jesus, which is, you know, what more sobering moment in history is there? But also, I thought, well, if this is something that lodges that into a young mind, because I was working at a school where they were singing hair care commercials and Coke ads in the playground, and I thought, what if we could lodge that in with a jingle? So I think James is right in some ways that certainly my intent is not to make light of the scriptures, and it's a very sobering verse. And I would hope that, the weight, let's say a preacher's preaching on it, it's a very serious moment, and he reads that verse. I think if the preacher is doing their job, I think the weight of the verse can land.
The way you lead the mood of the room as you approach that, then you wouldn't allow the room to be in that moment where people can make frivolous comments at that point.
Yeah. Sometimes in the reading, it's, you know, that's a little more...
tricky, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And look, sometimes I like it when the preacher reads the Bible. Can I just get controversial?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. It's very hard to read the Bible with intent. It's hard to read the Bible with clarity, just generally, and a lot of people rush it. So they should slow down. But then clarity and intent require a little more than good diction and projection. Mm. And I just listen to, you listen to a R.C. Sproul address or a Sinclair Ferguson, they read the Bible and there's a, okay, all right. If he reaches for the new one, you know, time's up.
I'd love to ask what he's learned from children, Lauren asks, and how you would encourage adults to be learning from little ones.
Hmm. Yes. It was I thought you were directing me to the answer there moment in your device. He's checking his emails. I've seen you do that before. That's what you're doing. He's on the Herald side. I love the reference. It's the references to children helpless and in need of guidance from their parents. So, you know, when you formed me, you knew me. So there's a knowledge of God. There's the presence of sin in you know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And then you've got these Jesus interaction with children or telling the disciples to be like a child or to let the children come. And just I'm in Thessalonians now in a Bible reading. Yep. And in Thessalonians 1 Thessalonians 2 Paul says that the Thessalonians were like babies to them.
He was like a mother.
Yeah, and then a little bit later he's the father.
Yeah.
And so there's this beautiful paternal and motherly, maternal dynamic that's happening in lives. So I just think all of that's, Lauren, I'm probably off topic, but that's the climate, that's the tone in which you think, well, when you come to kids, you can't just put on a funny hat, even though I love funny hats, and a red nose and start, there's something grave and serious about life. Little lives and big lives alike.
We were talking about depth and simplicity and putting those two things together. Yeah.
That's the quest, really. Depth and simplicity is because children's problems and children's cares and worries are substantial worries. I've had lovely stories from kids, from adults who've said, when I was a child, I sang that song and it got me through. I was getting bullied at school or it was, there was a crisis in life and I'd stand behind, see that shed over there. And this is what I remember one young woman saying this to me. I'd stand behind that shed and I'd sing, Be Strong and Courageous.
Mm.
And it's like, well, that is sacred and sobering and don't mess with the kids. I mean, that's, don't mess with what you teach them. And we're all kids who grew up. So the power of that message to lodge itself by God's grace, if it is God's message, whereas, I don't know, is it, has anyone, I've got to be careful, but, you know, if I were a butterfly, I'd thank you, Lord, for giving me wings, you know, if that's the benchmark and you're sort of doing that sort of thing, I feel like it's a nice message. But I think the whole counsel of God is there to probe, and it takes a bit of work to pull this one out and think, oh, what do I make out of that in terms of musically, so that there is actually that piece is lodged in there. It may not have all the other pieces attached. And sometimes, you know, I've had more college students say, oh, you didn't say all of that. Or I say, it's all right, I'll say more in another song.
That's true of a sermon as well. Yeah, I didn't say all of it in that sermon. Yeah.
No, it'd be a long sermon. Yeah. You know, like, and it is, isn't that the... So, like, that's one thing that struck me about Chapo was that he was just a great self-editor. Perhaps not when he was heckling in church. That was just good fun. I like that bit. But when he preached, it was really interesting just because he was in our church at Engadine for a few years and he preached a number of times. And I thought, this is interesting. He's really what he's left out and what he's kept in.
Yeah.
He just didn't say it all.
What did you learn from watching him?
Well, there are a whole bunch of people. I suspect there's some of this in you as well, that... there's a lot. Self-entertainment is actually quite a strong motive. You know, to like, do you go to the Word and before you think, oh, how can I craft this into something for someone else? Or how can I meet this person and sort of craft that into something else? It's like, well, what do I find fascinating about God's Word? What do I find fascinating about this person or talking to people in general or riding the roller coaster of an open-ended interview or... Yeah. So Chapo just was really delighted by the quest. He just, and I think that came through. I mean, he subjected that quest to the things that he really believed were important. You know, the supremacy of the Word of God, the power of the preached Word, the truth of the gospel, the need of people to repent. But also he loved clarity. He was a teacher. and you can tell. I listened to a sermon of his from Katoomba just recently, from some years ago, and the other thing that really struck me was that he loved words.
Mm.
He just liked how words fitted together. It wasn't sort of pretentious, but you could tell he liked the sound of words, and he thought about how the weave and the woof of words make us feel a certain way when we get to that point.
Mm.
That's nice to. I reckon it'd be good if we just muscle built our love of words, because that's what preaching is. They're our building blocks. I think it can make a big difference.
Next one. Jennifer says, the art journey of managing secular publicity and exposure with the spiritual faith-based. How do you do that? I mean, you've had this twin career in secular media and Christian media.
Mm. Well, so have you.
I have, yeah.
Well, maybe you should answer this question.
Well, I mean, I read that and I think there's actually the complexity of relating with the staff, the non-Christian staff that I'm working with in the secular news outlet, and how do I be a holistic person who is the same person that I am in the church community as I am in the radio, and I'm encouraging the members of my church to go out and be ambassadors for Jesus. And when I get the opportunity to go into the secular radio station, am I going to do what I've been saying? You know, am I going to live consistently? Am I going to be do you know, when I was 21, I'd just become Christian 6 months earlier, and I just had, and I thought, oh, this is a confronting moment. Mm. I've got my school friends who know one Dominic, my uni friends who know another Dominic, my work friends who know another Dominic, and my church friends who know another, and I am not an integrated person. And when I got to my 40th birthday, which was a roast of me, I was happy to have everyone come and be sent up. And I thought, oh, in 19 years, I've become integrated.
Yay! Yeah. And that's nice. That does speak to the intent, but also the time.
Mm.
And that there's going to be an imperfection, plenty of imperfections in each realm of our lives along the way. I think to have a strong sense of who you are, at your core, in the private moments, in the personal moments, in family life, that's been really important for me. Just regular church attendance has just been a big part of my story, and that throws me into a group of people who are put there because they love Christ, and so there's no, they're not creatives, although there are creatives there. They're not all a certain type of person, you hope. I find just, you know.
And I think over time, the media people come to respect you for being married to the same person for a long time, and just being a stable, wise person that they can. I mean, one girl at the Sydney Morning Herald told me the story of one of the other journalists came to talk to her about a major crisis in her life. Non-Christian journalist came to talk to this Christian journalist about this major crisis. And she said as part of the conversation, they went out for a coffee, and she said as part of the conversation, why did you come to talk to me? Because we're not particularly friends. And she said, well, I don't hear you gossiping about the other people in the office, so I thought you might be safe to talk to.
Mm.
And I thought, isn't that lovely? Her just living Christianly on the office floor has actually played out that I'm the safe person to talk to you when you've been cheated on by your boyfriend or whatever it was.
Mm. It's nice to be surprised by that as well, that I found people get in touch or say things to me, and it's almost like they're witnessing my Christian faith back at me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, another thing that I think is important as a Christian is to attempt to do what you do well and reliably and be growing in that, to be a serious journalist.
Mm.
And I think everyone's on a quest to win the respect of their colleagues and peers for what they do and for doing it well. And, so I've loved that part of the journey. And in some ways that puts you on a level playing field with everyone else, because That's really, as a songwriter or someone just going into TGIF, it's which is a satirical, comedic look at the week's events on regularly on Sydney radio here on ABC. That's you're all on sort of on the same quest, and to do it as well as possible.
And I just find also, I just want to. I'm particularly interested in winning the individual to Jesus, and so I've worked out if I only know this person in one dimension, then when that dimension closes, my relationship with them will close.
Yeah,
and so I try to move my work friends from being a work relationship to a second dimension relationship. Mm. So the only people I still know from university are people who came to my home when I was a student. And the only people I still know from each of the different jobs I've had are people who've come to my home.
Yeah, so. Well, that's nice. And the other thing is true too, that I don't be afraid to rely on other people and actually explore friendship for what friendship is, which is sometimes you need them. They may not be Christians, but they have, well,
keep going. Now finish the sentence. Well, I'm just trying to make it tight.
No, that's right. Edit as you go. Okay,
somebody scrambled.
Scrunched up one. What's that one?
This says, PJ Hint, the better looking one.
PJ. PJ, that could be anyone.
Oh, this is the author of this question.
Yeah, PJ and whoever it is.
You're just suggesting it. Sorry, no, I should explain.
This question is just randomly just come from someone who's using their initials.
Right, okay.
And their initials are PJ, and they've given a hint.
Right, oh, okay. I think, so it's from somebody called PJ.
Somebody called PJ.
So we don't know
who that could be.
Who that could be.
Could be anyone.
So that was a presumption.
Could be Philippa Jones.
Or Peter Johnson.
those are all possible.
But it is the better looking or the smarter one. Sorry, that's what I'm just going
they've
with.
They've crossed that out.
Says.
They've crossed out smarter and they've put better looking.
How did you know that they'd crossed it out?
That's even harder to know who that is. Go on. What's the question?
The question is exegesis or exposition. There's four questions, actually.
Really?
Exegesis or exposition, ESV or NIV, Ford or Holden.
What's the last one?
UNSW or UNSW.
Give me that. PJ, stop mucking around with us. This is a serious podcast.
Sorry.
I saw him here before and I didn't. Anyway, he's gone now.
What are the most important tips you'd give anyone doing kids ministry, says Sarah.
Oh, Sarah. She's laid sticks over that hole, isn't she? It's funny because in some ways I don't think I'm a great example because what I've sort of become in terms of my performing life, if I visit a church, I'm a bit of a two-headed monkey. I'm not week by week. I've sort of become this special event.
Yep.
And that's a really nice thing to happen. So it becomes this exception to the rule. So if you came to one of my concerts and it's all mayhem and streamers and toilet paper blowers and so forth, I wouldn't recommend that you'd go back and just
try to do that every week.
Because it's like the Spinal Tap amp that goes to 11, you know. And so I feel what I learned from play school was very, very valuable, which is dynamic range. It's true in any sphere of life, really, isn't it? You know, if you start quiet, then there's room to grow.
Yeah.
If you start big, well, then perhaps there's nowhere to go unless you start big and then get quiet.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, I'll come out and throw streamers, rah, 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 and then there'll be a song like this that's unaccompanied and everyone's doing the actions that you just sort of... Let's get small, and then that gives you a place to just build it up again, and then it's time for a story. And play school has this wonderful, my phone's ringing in my iPad, you know. They're making, you know, I call it the egg box, you know, clause, that a little bit of imagination can just spark imagination. And I think those things are... Anyone can do those things, and you don't need palaver to do that. So that in terms of just the dynamics of relating to children and what we were saying before about not trying to say everything. And it's the same with us too. We like to be listened to, not just spoken at and to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful to listen to children and to hear what they have to say. They may be questions, but they may not be. Mm-hmm. And they may be related and they may to the topic at hand, or they may not be. And I think that's, I don't know whether that's helpful, but yeah. And just hang in there, one foot after the other. Enjoy it too. What's that one?
Do you ever feel pressured in the media to talk, laugh about issues you'd rather still steer clear of? And how do you handle those situations?
It's probably just being a little bit older now. If a sticky question came up on TGIF, I said, "Well, I'm not touching that one."
Yep. Yep.
It's like I don't have to.
Yep.
If I really feel like it's fraught.
Yeah.
I feel like, and we are in a culture where just a little aside can be very damaging potentially, even if people don't share your sense of humour. Hey, you got some more there.
How have you experienced cultural changes in your ministry? In some ways, you seem to continue to do your shows for public carols with little adaptation to the less welcoming culture.
I won't answer this entirely with the cup up to my mouth because that might be hard to hear. Sorry.
There are some people who listen to us and can't see you.
Oh, sorry, listeners. For the benefit of the listeners, I was holding my coffee cup up while I was answering that question. The I'm only aware of only a couple of times where I've done public events where someone's really taken umbrage at the Christian content. Mm-hmm. I think if it's set up right and people know that the Christians are running this outdoor event, I mean, and goodness sake, it's Christmas and you're a Christian church and you're presenting the Christmas story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like barks like a dog, wags its tail like a dog. If the community can't tolerate that, I mean, you'd need to get to know your community and, you know, well, don't incite them to hatred. But a couple of times people have got their nose out of joint, and I don't like confrontation, but I feel like if a Christian school's run an event and there's Christian content at Christmas time, I'm feeling... Yeah, we can do that.
Yep.
And I think there's ways of doing it that doesn't draw fire.
Mm.
But I also believe that your own conviction and integrity, and it's almost something people can smell about you, like that you're not, I don't know that you want to sound like you're telling them what to do, but if you tell them what's important to you or what, I just feel like people relate to the content and the way it's delivered, and that may change, but yeah.
We'll go for another anonymous one.
I wonder who this could be.
Ah, K-Dog.
K-Dog. I wonder who the K-Dog would be.
Colin, if you were Archbishop, what would you do?
Is that the K-Dog's question?
That's
here as well.
That's what he wants to know.
He wants to, if I was Archbishop, what would I do?
From somebody, first letter K.
K. He wants to be known as K-Dog. I don't know. I think that's...
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's a very open-ended question, isn't it? I mean, does K-Dog mean, like, is he talking about...
No, I think we should just deal with the substance of the question. If you were Archbishop, what would you do?
K-Dog, like you, I would do what needs to be done, humbly, graciously, with joy and dependence upon God. That is the closest thing to, you know, the Monty Python. Here's Tim to show us how to play the flute. Yes, well, you move your fingers up there and you blow through the little hole. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for watching. Yeah. The next one. So many of your songs are laced with scripture or talk about scripture. What made the theology of scripture so important for you? What have been your key aims for kids and kids at heart in your use of and talking about the Bible?
Hmm. Well, you pick it up by osmosis in a way, don't you? There's the seriousness of the Bible. I know. So I grew up in churches where the Bible was, it was a moment when it was read, and then it's a moment when it's preached. And I was very grateful. I grew up in St. Giles Presbyterian Church in Hurstville. And for a time there, I like to think about the days when all the senior, they were called senior ministers back then. There was only one. Mm. But Graham Miller, the great Graham Miller, who was, a pioneer, a missionary in Vanuatu, and helped sort of activate church leaders that it was recognized as a contribution to their independence. So, but he would give the children's talk.
Mm.
So he would give the message and he would give the children's talk. And Ian Murray was at our church and an historian and a very serious reformed man, preacher, and he would give the children's talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, it said, what you're giving to, the word is substantial and rich, and they would preach. Yeah, Matt Murray is another of our ministers at Engadine Kongs for all, and he's just about to retire. But I said to Robin when we went through Leviticus, I've heard Matt preach on the mold passage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're up to the mold passage. It's God's word. We do the mold passage. And I can't remember what he preached, but, he may have put a couple of chapters together. But
he said it's a mess.
That's right. Well, he didn't skip over it.
Yeah.
So I suppose you pick up that the whole of Scripture is rich and useful for teaching and for growth. And you teach it in season and out of season. You teach it to the young and the old. You teach it with a sense of gravity because it is God's word.
Thanks so much for coming in. The questions that are left in there.
Dominic's check shirt, yay or nay. Leave your comments in the section below and give us a thumbs up.
Colin Buchanan, he's a Christian country music entertainer and a children's entertainer and good friend, and lovely to have him with us this afternoon on The Pastor's Art. See you next Tuesday.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.